20-somethings who are either married or in committed relationships who say their unions are more secure and more honest because they don't believe in monogamy.
I just took off my clothes and I had to do it.
Talking about swinging, or as it's known now, living in the lifestyle.
We're going to have to give you some quinine.
Technically, an orgy requires a minimum of 6 participants.
What about my three-way?
This is a new generation of swingers.
Waves of it coming at you on Friday, Saturday. By Sunday, your nuts going to be drained.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Swinging Around, the sex-positive podcast about swinging and sex. I'm Cal.
I'm JB.
And we're not going to have an episode number right now. It'll be in the show. You'll know what episode this is, but we're not exactly sure where this is falling because we got some cool content. We're not sure exactly where this we're recording this episode right now. We're not sure where it's going to fall because we have our if it's gone up, you've already heard it. If it hasn't, we have a upcoming interview with a local club / very large house party behind closed doors here in Michigan, and with the host of that party, Amy and Derek. So we're not exactly sure if we've already recorded the interview. It was excellent, and we're not sure exactly when that's going up. So you might have already heard that, or you might not. So you'll know what episode number.
Yeah,
we're
you'll
at.
Have to look at the show notes for that.
Yeah,
we're also prepping for baby, so we're just making sure to have enough content to get us through in case there's a week or two that we're unable to record. We want to make sure that our happy listeners out there don't have any sex droughts.
Oh, yeah.
Or swinging droughts, so to speak.
And we also have episodes we're going to be reviewing Tristan Taramino's Opening Up, which JB has already finished reading, and I am feverishly trying to finish that along with other projects we have going on, House, Baby, whatnot. So I'm lagging on that, but we'll be finishing that. I'll be finishing that soon, and then we'll have a review going up. And I think that's actually going to be become a two-part episode. That one we have not recorded yet, but I think it will become a two-part episode,
yeah,
just because there's enough content. Like, I almost want to go by chapter by chapter and talk about that book, because it's an excellent.
To me, it's not so much a review of the book to provide. You know, we're not going to do literary criticism about how the structure of the book. What we're really going to do is talk about the content of the book and how it applies to our lives and might apply to swingers and people new to the lifestyle, people who've been in the lifestyle, that sort of thing. It's not so much a review of the book, but more of an overall discussion about open relationships in general and the types of relationships and how they interact and how to go about changing from swinging to maybe polyamory or that sort
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And definitely that we're not going to be really reviewing the book because the book is excellent. I mean, hands down, it's a really good book.
Review done.
The review's awesome. And we just, there's enough content that's intriguing and thought-provoking that we're probably just going to go through and just discuss various topics. I don't know if it's going to be every chapter, but almost every chapter is worth discussing. There's insights and just
new worlds for me.
New worlds the book covers.
Relationship situations that had certainly never crossed my mind, and although they may or may not be something that is right for Cal and I, it's certainly worth discussing.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So we don't want to get wrapped up right now. We could get caught up and actually talking about it. So
you're
not
even done with the book.
I'm about two-thirds of the
way. Chop, chop.
About two-thirds of the way. I just finished the chapter last night on jealousy. Fantastic episode. I sat in the hot tub by myself. Sat in the hot tub by myself and pounded out jealousy.
Meanwhile, I was up in bed masturbating.
You were in the bed?
Uh-huh.
I thought your usual go-to place is on the living room
couch.
Yeah,
this is probably the first time I've masturbated without porn in quite a while.
Oh,
so it did take a little bit longer, but still, I go quick. So.
That's hot. It's funny because you masturbated while I was out reading in the hot tub, and then I came up and you had fallen asleep and gone to bed, so then I masturbated after you had gone to bed. So we both masturbated. We just should have had sex before I went out to the hot tub, and then it would have been even better.
It's true, but sometimes masturbation is a lot less work.
It's a lot less work, plus.
And I had just,
plus
like,
we both.
Didn't I just fuck you earlier that night when we got home
from
work?
Yeah, yesterday you gave me such an excellent fuck. You got home, I think you were definitely horny, and
that kind of gets to today's topic, too.
You just rode me, and it was fucking hot.
Yeah.
It was, and
It was a good workout for me, too.
Yeah, you got up a decent workout. I was like, is baby okay? But
he survived.
Then he kicked.
Shortly thereafter, yeah. So he was still in there. So that brings me to today's topic. It's kind of a, I don't want to say hodgepodge because I don't know if that'll do it justice, but with me being pregnant and us not being able to swing, although we're still doing the podcast, it's brought up a lot of newer issues for us as a couple and just new things to work through related to renegotiation of rules and pregnancy and body image and just all these different things to talk about that, you know, we wouldn't have talked about before had I not been pregnant or had we not had this show. So really today I just wanted to dedicate some time to talking about what's been going on with us and some of the recent conversations that we've had, because we've had some pretty good lifestyle-based conversations recently, and we realized that this is something that we should share with the listeners.
Definitely, definitely. So why don't we start? A lot of this stemmed from, so a couple, 2 weekends ago, we went to a barbecue over at, behind closed doors, their house, Amy and Derek's house. They had a barbecue with some lifestyle people.
Yeah, and it was interesting because it was simply a barbecue. Like, their kids were still there. And I believe they said it was the first time they had had their kids at home when lifestyle people were over. So obviously we weren't doing anything lifestyle related. I mean, it was all very vanilla while the kids were around.
Well, the conversation wasn't always.
Even when the kids were around, I mean.
When the kids were around, it wasn't, but.
Because, I mean, at least one of them's old enough to pick up on some of the words, and the other one, maybe not yet, but in a few years, would most definitely recall some conversations. So,
but that was enjoyable because we hadn't been around a group of swingers, even though we didn't swing, around a group of swingers in a number of months. So it's been doing this podcast and reading Opening Up and
watching Swing
that's been getting us through.
Thank you to some of our listeners as well who've been sending us some great emails. So we have had email contact with other swingers from listeners, and that's been fantastic.
Oh yeah, I think later on in this episode we'll have some emails to read. So we love getting feedback, and we love it's the fun part for us is reading it reading it on air. So
anyway, we went to this barbecue with maybe five or six other lifestyle couples. And after the kids went to bed, it didn't turn into play session, but it turned into a more adult conversation where these couples had all known each other for a little while. We were the new ones to the group. And so there was various reminiscing going on, talking about, oh, I was fucking your wife, and then you came in and tapped me out because I was going too long. And it was just, it was great to just hear the open, honest conversation just among adults. And although we didn't play with anybody that night, it was still pretty much, you know, a pretty good turn on.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a huge turn on, and it's just refreshing to be somewhere where you can just talk about how your sex life, or, you know, how's the sex been while you're pregnant, or just talking to them about swinging. And
and pretty much all the women there had a child, you know, had kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's always the advice going around about what to do, what not to do, all those things. Everybody's got advice. So it's interesting to hear just different things. And I'll admit I was a little nervous about going to the party, just knowing that we'd be with other lifestyle people. Because whenever we're with lifestyle people, I want to look attractive. Like, I want people to be attracted to me. And being pregnant, it's hard to feel attractive, because let's face it, I'm kind of a more petite person. I've always been in good shape. Before I got pregnant, I had a pretty rocking body, I would say, and then I got pregnant, and it's not rock solid.
Your own horn, toot toot.
Hey,
I agree though. I totally agree. You're fucking hot, but I don't know. I had to do that. I had to give you the toot.
Well, they don't know what I look like.
I wouldn't
put myself as hot, but I'd say I was at least in decent shape.
No, definitely. No, I completely agree.
Okay.
I just thought it was funny. Maybe it wasn't funny. I don't know.
I don't toot. I feel like I don't toot enough, so I'm tooting.
No, toot away.
Well, I do toot, but
yeah.
Not the appropriate
not that
kind of toot.
No, it was just funny. I don't know.
So anyway, I'm self-conscious about the pregnant belly, and it was nice because there was a little bit of flirtation going on. So, you know, it's nice to know that there are other people who are still attracted to me, because presumably you wouldn't tell a woman that she's hot if she wasn't hot. So getting that compliment was pretty nice.
Yeah, you can just be quiet or say, you know, you can just avoid that. But yeah, you were getting some not blatant hits. Or, you know, come on, you were...
Not blatant? I would say they were blatant, not subtle.
Not subtle, that's what I meant to say. So yeah, you were, I mean, and like, I've been telling you all along that you're incredibly sexy.
But you're married to me, so that, you know, it's the same thing with when I tell you that I find you hot. You take it for what it is, but at the same time, you don't want to say that it's not meaningful, because it's certainly meaningful, but it's different when it's coming from someone who isn't married to you or hasn't, you know, it's different coming from the mouth of a stranger.
So do you think it's not genuine, or that you don't take it, it's less genuine when I say it?
Probably, a little bit. Maybe that's more societal stigma coming through, I don't know, where men just think I should tell my wife she looks pretty so that she doesn't get angry at me because I know she put makeup on today or whatever, I don't know.
I mean, there is that, but I would like to think that you...
Like, I feel like men feel somewhat obligated to compliment their wives.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... It's true, but I don't know, I usually have the philosophy that I just will be quiet if I don't think you're hot, but... You're usually always looking good. So, I mean, and that even leads me to, it was such a huge turn-on. We recently had some, just this past weekend, we had some pregnancy photos taken. And we had the traditional outdoor, just normal sort of pregnancy photos, you know,
mm-hmm.
Nice.
Us standing together, us your standing, hands in my belly, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the not cliche, I mean, it kind of is, just a cliche.
Just traditional ones,
Yeah, traditional, that's
traditional
the better way to
photos say. That you would put in a frame, or put in a baby book, or send to grandma and grandpa kind of thing, you know, like, oh, here's what JB looks like pregnant kind mm-hmm. of thing. Those kind of classic photos. But then we wanted to push the envelope a little bit, and the photographer wanted to push the envelope a little bit, and try and do a little bit more risque and sexy sort of photo shoot.
Yes, not
non-traditional by far.
And celebrate a pregnant woman's sexy body. And
very difficult for me to do, by the way.
So you got, you know, there was a lot of pictures taken that with you in lingerie.
I was pretty much naked for like 3 hours.
There was a lot of pictures of you know, me as well, and there's, you know, pictures of me laying on a bed and you sort of straddling me, and always keeping the emphasis, the focus on not ignoring the fact that you're pregnant and that, but you're still a sexual woman, and sexual, sexy, and not ashamed. And, you know, the pictures really convey a sense of not ashamed of what I have and how my body is looking right now. And
yeah, and I think a lot of them were also done tastefully to just accentuate skin. And show, like, the skin and the round belly and just try and show the beauty of the female body when it's pregnant. But, and not necessarily even in a sexy way, but just in a showcase the natural human elements.
But you were so fucking sexy. It was such a turn-on when I wasn't in the photos. I mean, you were sexy when I was in the photos, but I also had to focus on what I was being instructed to do, put hand on belly, not on belly, lay down, mm-hmm. do whatever, but...
You make it sound so difficult. Hand on belly, no hand on belly. Stand hey. Up, lay down.
It takes concentration.
Well,
but,
there was like the pictures that they say look the most natural, feel the most awkward to pose in.
That's true. I'll agree to that, because there was that one... where I was, like, sitting Indian style, and then you were sitting on me. And if it's any of you done P90X out there, or just any workout in general, although I'd never done frog until P90X, but they have the frog stretching where, how do you know, you get on your hands and knees and you sort of do the splits a little bit. How would you describe frog?
You facing the ground, you... put your legs at essentially like a 90-degree angle, so you're stretching out your hips.
Yeah, you're working on the hip flexors.
You were not sitting in a frog, though, because you're
sitting
in Indian style.
No, I wasn't, but it was working the same thing. It was really...
You were in, like, the butterfly position with your bottoms of your feet touching.
But I'm only used to that intensity of... Because you were sitting, and it was opening, and just the way we were
yeah,
sitting...
Yeah, it was, like, pushing
it was,
your legs
It was pushing my legs open in the same mm-hmm. the same manner as frog does when we were working out,
yeah.
And that was that really took some concentration.
Well, and I'm no light cookie right now, so there's a decent amount of weight sitting
there. It's not that because you're heavy or anything. It's because just the position we were in. Where were we going with that?
Awkward position.
Oh yeah, that one was really awkward. But
yeah, it's hard for me to imagine what those pictures are going to look like. Number one, because the majority of the time I was almost half naked in either in some kind of lingerie or just in a thong with like a sheer piece over my boobs, or you know, I wasn't wearing very much clothes. And number two, I haven't seen any of these pictures. You know, I was in them, but I haven't seen any of the proofs yet, what they're going to look like. So.
But there was
the verdict is still out for me.
There was, you were looking so sexy. Like, I've never seen a pregnant woman look that sexy on TV, in a movie, or anything. I've never seen anybody look that sexy than they had you draped over a bench and sort of just casually trying to lay there. It probably was taking quite the effort to look like you weren't working, but...
I'm sitting there going, is the wrap hiding my fat roll? Is the wrap hiding my fat roll? Or, you know, that's... Or maybe I need to lean this way a little. I mean, when you're on camera, all I could focus on was my blemishes, so we'll have to, you know, I'm sure the pictures will turn out great. We had a great photographer, so
yeah. They,
but then that leads us down the road of, okay, the pictures look great. Who do you show them to?
Yeah, it's we had that conversation.
You can
driving
see nips
home
and stuff. Clearly, family members are not going to see that. I'm not going to
post
that on Facebook.
I don't think you can see the nipples on most of them, but I still don't think they're not pictures we want to show family. I think they're just for us. I mean, I think they're just for us. We could show them to other lifestyle individuals.
I mean,
but
there's some that are more tasteful, where it's really just looking at the belly. Like, I know they did some shadow shots, maybe one or two of those, but I think I'm really going to have to scrutinize the pictures and just save them for us. And then
we'll have to take a look at them and
okay,
see
we
what's
have
appropriate
these pictures
to show family.
You're not going to jack off to them.
No. I probably could, but I probably... I probably won't that much, just because, just like any pictures, they probably go in a photo album, although these might not, but...
Well, the sexy ones wouldn't go in a photo
the
album.
The ones that... I probably could, but it is... Yeah, it's funny. We were driving home, and it's like, well, those pictures were hot, and they're gonna turn out really well, but who do you show them to? And I think they're just going to be just for us, and anybody that we feel comfortable enough showing them to. And you're right, there's probably going to be maybe a handful that potentially, because there's some silhouetted ones, and I think...
Yeah.
And
part of me wishes that we had done them maybe a little earlier in the pregnancy. And the reason I say that is because if the pictures really turn out that good, then that truly is a self-esteem booster and a self-confidence booster. But I'm getting pretty close to the wire here, and so there's the possibility that I might not even see those pictures before I actually give birth. So then... You know, then that all goes out the window anyway as a self-confidence booster.
Yeah, but it would have been fleeting, because once you had the baby and that self... I mean, it's good. It would have been good to have a confidence booster earlier on, but I think it was the right time to have lasting pictures. What I mean is that... I mean, the pictures are going to last. What I mean is that in 5 years, you were at the point in the pregnancy where... it was worth taking pregnancy photos, because if you're earlier on and you're not showing as much, then it's kind of just picture. It isn't as much pregnancy photos. It's just kind of you. And then, I mean, here you're clearly pregnant. You're clearly, there is no question. Oh, is she, you know, got a little beer belly? Or I think the photos are sexy, are going to be sexier because they're placed later on in their pregnancy.
Maybe, so it's clear that I'm not just chubby.
Yeah. And also, the point was to take pregnancy photos and just take some non-traditional pin-up pregnancy photos. And as we mentioned, we also have traditional ones as well. But I think later on down the line, when we're looking at these photos or reminiscing, or I'm looking at them jacking off because you're so fucking hot.
You've got a whole library of other photos of me, so I feel like they'd really have to be hot photos for them to be in your spank bank.
They definitely are.
Other than, unless you're thinking like, man, I fucked a baby into her.
And that's a phrase that you've been using that it's incredibly hot. You know, probably only the father
I think that's
of
why
the
I
baby
say it.
Is
I think
hot,
it's hot.
But to hear your woman say that you fucked a baby into her, I don't know, there's just it's such a dirty it's kind of dirty, risque, and sexy, all naughtiness, all kind of wrapped up. Because
yep. Maybe not so much if you weren't planning a baby, but or if you weren't excited for the baby. But
well, that's true. Yeah, if you weren't planning it, then
or excited. Well either way, you could be excited for it even if you weren't planning for it. But I don't know. We're not in that situation, so I shouldn't project.
No, yeah, I don't know if we've mentioned that on the podcast. This baby was planned. We had tried, and so it wasn't an accident. We had planned for it. So that's where we're coming from when we mm-hmm. are talking about pregnancy issues. And although it would be interesting, I don't, you know, you can't really plan for an unplanned pregnancy, I guess, mm-hmm. but it would be. It'd be interesting to how you'd feel differently, potentially, about a pregnancy. You know, you might get just as excited, and it's no different.
Oh, yeah,
but
I think it just depends on your personal situation. If you are in a state of your life where, although you weren't trying to have children, you could love them and afford them and care for them in such a way that you feel mature and ready for it, then, you know, I think you would feel differently than if you were in an earlier stage in your life where you weren't prepared for it. Mentally, physically, financially.
Well,
you could
be earlier and still be incredibly happy, though, just because I think for us, if we were any younger and it was unplanned, I think then we might potentially feel a little bit differently about it. But I think we'd still be
excited.
Oh, we would definitely.
It would just
be excited.
Like, we weren't quite ready yet. But
it would just be interesting to how just that difference of a planned versus unplanned
mm-hmm.
influences you when. And we're hoping to have a second child someday. So I would approach it. I'm imagining it in a scenario where I would want the baby and how that would affect it. I mean, of course, if it was unplanned and you were not looking to get pregnant and aren't looking forward to it, then it's going to have whole other issues related to it.
So let's get back to swinging here. We were just talking about how we had this barbecue with swinger friends, and we've been spending some more time recently with some swinger friends in general, and we were invited to go to a house party. So we just did this interview, as Cal mentioned earlier, that we did an interview with Behind Closed Doors, Amy and Derek. They run the Behind Closed Doors Club. They actually happen to be having a party coming up very soon, and they invited us to come. They also let me know that there are going to be two other pregnant women there, which kind of an added bonus, just to know that I'm not going to be the only one who's pregnant. I don't know how pregnant these other women are, but I do know that there are going to be two other pregnant women there.
And we have decided to go, but it wasn't. We kind of want to talk about that too, because it wasn't a decision that where it was just an immediate yes to the invitation to go, because.
Well, I mean, this is a swinger party.
We hadn't done anything in quite a while since. You've been pregnant, and
well, the last party we went to was in January, so
yeah. So I mean, it's
quite a while.
It's definitely been a while, and this party is it's an on premise party, so there is a lot of sex that goes on.
Yeah.
And
now there's no expectation to have sex, and you'll hear a lot more about this. I don't want to steal any thunder for when we actually do the interview. There's no expectation to have sex, but there is an expectation for you to put on lingerie. At a certain point in time, to get in your sexy clothing.
Yeah, but there's a transition period where you have to transition from where it's a house club rule that you transition starting at 10 o'clock, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a social from 7 to 10, and then starting at 10, they ask that everybody just transition to sexy wear.
Mm-hmm. And so there's issue number one. Put a pregnant woman in lingerie. And here we are just talking about, well, we did all those pictures, so clearly
I can... Yeah,
you
looked amazing.
But I wasn't in front of a bunch of people that I was unfamiliar with. So that brings up some self-conscious issues for me to work through that I wouldn't have had before. You know, we would have never second-guessed going to a swinger event if we had the money and the time to do it. You know, there was never a body image issue before, where it'd be like, well, I'm not comfortable with how I look, therefore I don't want other people looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's a new thing for me to work through. And I definitely originally said, no, I don't want to go, because I'm not comfortable. I don't think people are going to want to watch me play. So that was kind of issue number one. And if I'm not feeling sexy, it's hard to enjoy that exhibitionism piece of the swinging. We've talked a lot about how we enjoy being exhibitionists.
That's a big part for us, is enjoying
being watched. If I'm self-conscious the whole time we're fucking and I don't think that I'm sexy to other people, it's going to be hard for me to have a good time, because that's one of the elements of swinging that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So just throw that out the window. So that's one thing I've been working through, and I think having those photos taken has helped. I also happen to find a lingerie in my closet that I think fits pretty well, which also helps.
Well, there was multiple things that you wore for the photos this past weekend that were just made you look amazing, and so I don't think, I mean, I can, just like we talked about, I guess, you know, you don't take your husband's word at as much value, but there is no doubt that you are going to look, regardless of what piece you decide to wear, that you're going to look fucking hot.
And part of me was just feeling guilty for saying no, because I know we've both been feeling the itch and wanting to go to something swinging related, and it's like, man, I'm holding Cal back. I don't want to feel guilty. And it makes me feel like a hypocrite to even say that I felt guilty, because we've talked.
What was that? I was like, hypocrite?
It's a little, like, cough. Well, it was a coffin talk.
The coffin talk.
So I don't want to be a hypocrite, considering some of the topics we've talked about in previous episodes, where we've been like, well, you know, the person with the issue should make attempts to work through it if they can, and not just write things off, while the person who is maybe a little bit more comfortable has to be patient. And I have to admit, you've been very patient with me, so that's good. But it doesn't necessarily eliminate the guilt.
So, you made the decision, and I think it was just a couple of days ago that you were like, well, we can go. So what actually was the deciding factor, the transition from we're going to go, you know, saying, you know, I'm not comfortable, to sure, yeah, we're going to go this weekend?
Well, it has helped to have some level of reassurance about my looks. That's definitely helped. The second piece is that, you know, since we've been recording this podcast, we've decided to go full swap. And in my head, I've just thought it would be kind of hot to see you and watch you playing with another partner, at least with oral. Like, I haven't taken the time to watch that as it's been going down, because we've always been in soft swap situations where, while you're eating another woman out or doing whatever, playing with another woman, I'm with another guy. So there really hasn't been, like, a good opportunity for me to watch you and be turned on by that. So I thought, well, this could be a good opportunity to watch Cal at his best and really see you be turned on. And those thoughts were turning me on.
That's pretty hot. That's pretty hot. I cannot deny that. And then there was even new development today when I get home from work that full swap is not off the table for me, which was... That was interesting. I mean, I'm excited for it, but
Well, there's one particular person that we know is going to be at the party that seems to be a mutual attraction to, and it's a person that I'm comfortable with, that I wouldn't feel threatened by or jealous of, and I know that you find this person attractive and would like to have sex with her, and so it's like, well, if I'm not threatened by it and I'm not jealous from it and it turns you on, knowing that you're turned on turns me on. It's like, it's kind of the same reason that I watch gay porn. I like to see men turned on and experiencing pleasure. And so in this way, I get to actually just watch you experience pleasure in a way that I've never seen before.
And it's definitely been some good renegotiation of rules. I mean, what's funny is it's negotiation of rules during a very specific time point when you are pregnant, because it's uneven swinging, it's uneven play, and there's various issues that come into play there. And
well, that's where jealousy could really be comfort, an issue.
Comfort level, and, you know, things we've talked about for this party is that, you know, everything could be off. If it doesn't feel right in the moment, either for you or for me, then, I mean, and definitely for you, you need to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've talked about you playing with me while I play with both you and the other girl, and then we've also discussed, you know, we haven't discussed it fully, and I mean, that's partially what we're going to do here, but it's, you know, you are also horny, but so what is potentially on the table for you? What is not? Because I think we've even talked about before that while you're pregnant, that play is completely off the table for you.
Yeah, and but because it was off the table for me, we had decided, well, it should be off the table for you too. And I've moved past that, at least somewhat. I don't think I'd be comfortable with you playing with multiple different women at the same time while I'm there. I've said that I'm comfortable with you playing with this one particular woman. I'm not sure if I would be comfortable with you playing with anyone else.
And I think a big part of it is going to be in the moment, comfort level, and how you are.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's going to take
We've never really been an in-the-moment couple. We've always been a... We set our rules ahead of time, and then maybe we change the... We haven't really changed things as we've gone along.
No.
We've pretty much had... Not rigid, I mean, flexible rules... established at the start, but this is a new situation for us where I think my comfort level is where it is, but I recognize that we could get in the situation and my comfort level could change, and rather than have my comfort level change and then have me get jealous, I'd rather, if my comfort level changes, just, you know, ask you to stop and then, you know, just get over it and not be guilty about it. Like, I definitely don't want to be guilty if I ask you to stop doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to have to be understood that, you know what, I'm not quite as comfortable with something as I thought I would be.
And it's incredibly hot to me that it turned you on thinking about me with somebody else, because I know that I've had the same thoughts for you as well, and I'm like, once we're at the point where we're comfortable with you full swapping, then I know that's definitely something that I want to watch, and I think it's going to be hot. Just like you, it's like, well, how am I going to feel in that situation?
Yeah.
But, and you're actually going to learn that earlier than I am.
I think part of what's changing the situation for me, and part of the reason that I'm okay with things being uneven, is because I'm going into this under the assumption that it has to be uneven. That I'm... The current rule for me is that I cannot have sex with anybody else, you know, at this far along in the pregnancy, for where we're at. It's just not something that we're comfortable with. And so it takes the kind of... There's no opportunity for me to play.
Well,
but I don't want to hold you back, because, like, when both parties can play, when you're able to play and I'm able to play, you don't want one person to not be playing while the other one's playing, because then the person who's not playing, is it because they didn't find anybody, nobody found them attractive, nobody wanted them.
Is comfortable with not playing, because that's, well, I'm going to talk about it when we talk about opening up, but there's a whole portion on what was the, I think it's a whole chapter that's about... uneven, but she words it more elegantly than
that. Uneven relationships in polyamory.
Yeah, I mean, there was all the way from uneven relationships to, you know, one partner playing and not. I mean, so without getting into the book again, because we're going to have a full review later on, or, you know, a full discussion later on, that if she describes where it doesn't have to be even, if one partner, even if in the scenario where both people could play, if one just isn't feeling it, because if you're not feeling it, then that's one thing. But if you're comfortable, if you're just having, if you're okay with your partner playing and you're, while you're not, although for us, like, I can't see where, you know, if we're at a party somewhere where you just kind of are okay just sitting around twiddling your thumbs while the other person's out playing. I can't see that.
I think if I'm capable of playing and we both went to a party planning to play, I wouldn't be real thrilled with you playing with someone else and not playing with me.
Oh, I completely agree, and that's us, but I do want to acknowledge that.
If you're making the decision that you want to play and you're capable of playing, then I would like to play.
No, I completely agree, and that's us. And I know that's how we would be, but I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be where you're in a scenario where both people intended to play, that one person just found somebody that they clicked with, and the other person didn't, but they're okay with that they didn't.
Yeah.
But I think for us, for the two of us, wouldn't be okay that we didn't find somebody to click with.
My preference would be, if I didn't find someone that I clicked with, I'd prefer that you involved me and fucked me, and maybe involve the other person too, maybe somewhat, but I'd want it to be, I would want to be very much so involved. I wouldn't want to be sitting on the sidelines.
No, that's
even
how we
at
are.
This party that we've got, that we're going to, I plan to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch for some of it too. And even then, there's still rules within our full swap category. No finishing.
Yeah,
with someone else is definitely one of the rules.
No finishing.
Condom, obviously.
Yeah, safe sex practices, yep. And So, but I do want to talk about, just because we've talked about it a little bit, and I think there's even more to talk about, but that, you know, earlier today you even asked me, so what is on, or how would you phrase it, like, what is either on or off the table for me? And it's, up until now, we haven't actually gone to a party, so we really haven't had to truly think about, figure out, well, what would we be comfortable with?
Well, I think, because we weren't planning on going to a party until after the baby was born. We had because kind of, this new party situation and us deciding to go has brought about a whole new world.
Well, because we made the decision earlier on, which we didn't have to make. We made the decision to just back off the number of parties we were going to and just sort of back off and focus on the pregnancy and just focus on me
well,
and you.
Not only that, but like I also was partially like, well, I don't want to make other people uncomfortable, or I don't want to be judged by people at parties, and we tend to go to some larger scale social functions where there's 100, 150, 200 couples. There's so many people.
I think that's why behind closed doors, you know, the house party is a little bit different, because even in those things that we were concerned about, you know, yeah, I didn't want to be judged. I don't think we have as much to worry about at this party. But,
yeah, it's a different atmosphere.
But we have had to rethink, and I think we even talked about earlier that we just weren't comfortable doing anything while you were pregnant, with you doing anything. But then you start to think about it, and you're like, well, would I be? Like, and if you're not, why not? So am I okay with you doing oral? I'm not sure. And I want to talk about that, but it's like, am I okay with you doing oral? Am I okay with full swapping? Am I okay with making out? Though, because in my mind, there's various levels. Am I okay with maybe with people groping or touching you while you're pregnant, or fondling your breasts, or all the various levels of play that there can be? And because all those are very real possibilities for. Mm-hmm. The
well,
party.
I've already had a proposition from someone to swap. I mean, that's already been laid out on the table. I've turned it down, at least for now. But I think that's off the table in general, because I think prior to recording we had discussed sex isn't going to happen.
I don't think either one of us are, just because. I mean, we've already disclosed a lot. We can keep disclosing. We, you know, you had a doctor's appointment today, and you're a little bit dilated, and there's just something, at least in my mind, and that's why we're, you know, there's renegotiation. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, it's like, I can't put my finger on it, but I think there's an ick factor for myself, plus a little bit of disrespect to the baby, if that's weird to think about. Like, you fucking somebody else is a little disrespectful to mine and your child.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's weird thinking about disrespecting an infant who isn't born yet, but
well,
it's
your son. I mean, I can understand that. And we were talking about, we've mentioned this previously in the podcast, the ick factor of not wanting to have sex with somebody else while you're pregnant. And then, and I stood by that very firmly in previous episodes, and now I'm just getting horny. Like, I think my judgment is tainted by horniness, having not been in a swinging situation in a while. And this is exactly the kind of thing that can cause problems if you don't talk about your rules ahead of time.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important that we've done it before the show. We're doing it a little bit during the show, and we'll have more discussions after the show. But
even now, not being in that situation, I know that my judgment is a little cloudy. I know that,
and I know my preference, and I think yours is that full swap is something that we just don't want to do. But I understand the horny factor. Well, and then part of it is.
Well, and I don't want regrets either, you know? This is our firstborn child. I'd prefer to wait another 2 months to then have my first full swap experience than do it ahead of time because I'm horny and rush into it. It's like, in my head, it's almost like you're talking to the high school girl who wants to have sex for the first time, and you tell her, just wait until the time's right. Don't do it just because you're horny. Wait for the right man. You know, kind of the situation that I think we're in a little bit.
And to be truthfully honest, I guess I hadn't even verbalized it myself that it was, or conceptualized it to the point where I realized that it was, what was my issue with it? Because I'm trying to think, like, what is the issue? Do I care if theoretically, if me and you were okay with you full swapping, would I care that if other people would potentially have a problem with that? Would I care about that? No.
I guess it's none of their business.
No, I agree.
But it still comes down to, I don't
know.
You
so
still think about people judging
that actually
me.
Doesn't factor. What the biggest factor is that the ick factor that I can't 100% put my finger on, but also my own personal, like, but also I just personally feel like, let the baby come out. Let him, I don't know, it's kind of, I just kind of come back to this, it's disrespectful to the baby to not even, I don't know, like, to have somebody who's not his father, you know, so close to him and the, you know, in the vagina and fucking, and I think that just, there's something that's just disrespectful to the baby, and that's hard to get over.
And I can respect that.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I see your point. I get it. I mean, it's not like the other guy would be finishing inside of me and there'd be a condom, but at the same time, it's close proximity. I mean, baby's on the other side of the cervix,
and
so
part of it.
Yeah, it's
part of it for me is
it's weird.
Like, as it's part of, I feel like as being good parents, it's like you can't even wait to do your own, to have your own fun until I'm out. You know, this is speaking, you know, until I'm out. And
not that he knows any different, but
yeah. You know, just these are the thought, like, I don't know, that's where
I can understand.
It's
that.
Weird to say, like, but then so
then where do you stand?
So I'm uncomfortable with full swap, but then
where do you stand on oral or making out?
Well, it's all it's all lower degrees of the ick factor, and it needs to be, like, it's almost like a graph, and the ick factor, there needs to be a point where you, like a curve, and the ick factor, the enjoyment, or what you're okay with, is finally above the ick factor. The ick factor wins out for full swap, but then, so if we work our way down, so I would say next down would be oral swapping.
But then there's two levels of that. There's me being eaten out, so having another man in the vicinity of the puss, or me blowing someone.
Exactly,
so.
And I don't think, and I feel like we're doing a lot of what I'm comfortable with. So I want to hear what you're comfortable with as
I'm
well.
I'm not really sure. That's my, like, kind of where I'm at. Well, I don't even know. I think a confused point at this point because I know what my vagina wants. And I know what my head says, and my head is getting confused by my vagina. I'm starting to think like a man.
I think that I feel the same way about you getting eaten out, so somebody performing oral on you, as I do about having sex. It's like,
mm-hmm.
They're so close, like, to where the baby's going to come out, like, where he is, that it's kind of still has the...
Yeah.
I mean, because you're still, you know, you're not fucking the pussy, but you're still dabbling around in
it. Yeah,
and
I don't disagree with that. And I also recognize that you're going to be there with me, and I love to play with you. So
yeah,
it's not,
I mean,
like, I'm not going to get
this,
any play time.
You're going to have tons of, I mean, me and you are going to be able to play and do everything together.
And then, so the next part of me is like, well, what's the point of flirting and having any heavy petting and making out with anybody if I'm just going to be like, well, it ends here.
Those things are hot in and of themselves. Making out with somebody, which I think I would be okay with.
And that is laying, and to me, that's also laying the foundation for future play
sessions. For future
sessions.
Relationships and future.
Yeah.
So I think I'm okay with making out. And I think, I have to think about this more, but I think I'm okay with you performing oral sex. And it's weird, but
and we still have the same rule on that, too, which is no finishing. Safe sex, no fluid exchange.
But I think... It's weird how it is and how at least a male's mind, or at least my mind, works, that it's kind of vicinity related.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cock is up at your mouth, it's not at your pussy, and it's further away from the baby. And so I think I'm okay with you performing oral. Now there's still the ick factor there. So we're getting to the point. So if we worked our way down from sex has the ick factor and what I'm calling the disrespect to the baby. So does you being eaten out. But we've gotten to the oral, where the oral, I think the disrespect to the baby is out. I don't feel that, but there's still kind of an ick factor, like societal, I guess, that you're pregnant with my baby, like, or from your point of view, you're just pregnant. Should I be playing with another guy? And I think that there's the ick factor and kind of a societal stigma there.
I think that's exactly what it is, because you're comfortable and I'm comfortable with you playing with another woman. It's like, well, men are supposed to procreate and women are supposed to be monogamous. There's a little bit of, I think you're hanging on to a little bit of monogamyism.
Well, I agree. I agree. And so, but that's why I said I'm pretty sure that I'm okay with oral, with you performing on somebody. I mean, what are your thoughts on what you are comfortable yourself doing? Like, if
I would be comfortable with that, but I agree with you about the vicinity. aspect about staying away from the vagina.
I mean, it's weird because if it were like, I don't even really...
if it were like 3 or 4 months ago and I was as horny as I am now, maybe the tables would be different. But I mean, baby's coming out soon.
Yeah, I mean, that also plays. I mean, you're a handful of weeks.
I'm less than a month away.
Less than a month away. And so it's weird because I don't even like the idea of you really getting fingered. Like, it's weird how my mind is, like, going towards, like, right now, stay out of the badge. Like, the pussy is kind of off.
It's yours and your son's.
Yeah, I mean, to be territorial, that's kind of how I feel. And so, but...
And I can respect that, and I can agree with it, and I definitely do agree with it. And I think when it comes to me providing oral pleasure to anyone, we have to see how you feel at the time and, you know, who the person is and how things are going and how the vibe of the night is and play it by ear and just, you know, we stick together anyway. We're always same room no matter what, and we'll just have to see. And so the key to success for this party coming up is that we're both honest and communicate with one another as soon as our comfort level is something that we don't want. I mean, and that's huge, is to tell your partner, hey, you need to stop, or I don't want, or to ask for permission. That's the big piece. And as long as we do that, I think we can avoid jealousy completely.
And the awesome piece, and also I recognize that there could be jealousy, and that I recognize that for you there could be jealousy watching me fucking somebody else if that's what ends up happening. But I think that we're at the point where it's going to be mild. If it's even there, it's going to be mild, and we can work through it. Like, yeah. I think we've learned to...
Well, and like I've said, right now I'm at... Excuse me. Ooh, Cheez-Its before podcasting, not a good idea. Anyway, I'm at the point where I'm comfortable with you. At least I think I'm going to be comfortable with you having sex with this one particular person. And I'll have to see how it goes. And maybe once you're inside, I won't be so comfortable. I don't know. And I might have to... be like, you know what, let's stop that kind of thing. But right now it turns me on. Just like sometimes I masturbate to anal and decide, hey, we're going to have anal sex tonight in my head. And then we go to have sex and I'm like, I don't want to put it there right now. I mean, I admit it. Sometimes things turn me on and then when put in the situation, I don't want to do it. So we're going to have to wait and see. At the same time, I don't want to get your hopes up and be like, strip them away, but... I think you understand going in.
Well,
that
I think that's...
And it might not be a guarantee anyway. This person might not want to play with you.
I think that's how it has to be. That, I mean, there are couples who feel that they shouldn't be able to limit their partner, but I think we feel that if you're not... I think we always try to play towards whoever is at the lowest, whoever is comfortable with the least, you play to their level. And so if a partner in the moment is something was on the table before and in the moment it's off, then as a couple we've decided that it's off.
I mean, that's just a matter
for that scenario.
That's a matter of respect for your partner. If they're not comfortable with it and they would prefer that you didn't do it because of how they feel, their you know, feelings, jealousy, whatever it is, then I think the respectful thing is to not do that.
No, and I agree. So
we're just gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah,
we'll have to update after
the party. It might be a little while because we're still debating when this episode is gonna go up. But we know we have the interview with Behind Closed Doors to go up and the opening up discussion that's gonna go up. So it could be a little while before we actually get.
But we'll keep listeners updated.
Oh yeah,
and I guess this is a good example of just going about negotiating your rules, because I mean we really honestly hadn't talked about what I should or shouldn't do, or, you know, what we're comfortable with at this party, or, you know, we really hadn't talked about it before.
Well,
this episode,
we knew before the podcast that we wanted to talk about you being comfortable with me potentially going further than I've gone before, but literally,
what are you, Superman?
Literally about 5 minutes before the podcast, you know, we were talking about various things and you're like, so what is or isn't on the table for me?
Well, I actually even said that this morning. I was getting ready to go to work and I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm allowed to do this weekend. Can we talk about that? And
I don't remember hearing that.
That was one of the very last things that I was like, bye, I love you. Oh, by the way, we need to talk about what I'm allowed to do because I don't know.
Yeah, I was enjoying my cereal and toast. I don't remember actually hearing that. So,
well, I did bring it up. But
so with that, I think we'll go ahead and move on. We have some listener mail that we want to go through.
Master, I have mail for you.
So we're going to open up the swinging mailbag with some listener stories. So this first email says, okay, I admit, we've been slow to hear your latest podcast, but my God, the public exhibitionist, we shouldn't be here, was so funny, it brought back so many memories. You talked about in public with swingers. Oh boy, it's what we do best. The first couple we swapped with, we went out to a local bar one evening, and it was early spring, so the bar deck wasn't really open yet, but we wandered out there anyway. Well, before long, I was blowing her boyfriend, she with my husband, and he looked over his shoulder to make sure nobody was walking out on the deck, we were all alone, except for the three or four faces that were pressed up against the windows watching us.
That's funny and hot.
Yeah, you think you're all alone on the secluded deck at a restaurant, but no. And then there was Sunday about a month ago. My man and I had a date cancel on us, and I was talking with a girlfriend. She mentioned their date had canceled as well. Well, about six texts later, we decided to fix that shit. On Sunday, we drove about an hour each, met in the middle of a tiny town for lunch, and then drove to a semi-secluded spot within view of the highway, but the turnoff was less traveled. We swapped cars and swapped men and fucked in the back seat of both cars. To be honest, the scent of her perfume and my man's cologne mixing as we drove home was so sexy, he had my attention all evening.
That's an incredibly fucking hot story. That car, like, pulling over, that's so hot. Thanks for that story. It definitely got a little blood flowing for me.
Yeah, me too. I can't imagine. You pull over, you get in someone else's car, you fuck their man. Then you get back in your own car and it smells like sex, and it wasn't your sex.
It's fucking
from
hot.
Your man fucking someone else. That's hot. So I've got one other listener email here that I wanted to read. It says, hi guys, I hope you're well and the final days of your pregnancy are relaxing. Last episode, you asked for feedback. I don't have any specific tips or things you should improve, but I do want you to know that I really enjoy your show. Your honest attempt to educate people on what to expect and how to get the most out of their lifestyle is refreshing. I appreciate the consistent pursuit of helping people through personal stories and the fact that you are the first ones to admit that you don't have all the answers. I'm able to connect much more readily to your show than some of the other shows out there. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for the feedback. That was really great. It makes us feel good that those are just very nice comments. So thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So I think now we're going to move on to one of our favorite ones. We haven't got any feedback on how much the listeners actually like it, but it's very fun for us. So we're going to move on to Mary Fuck Blow.
Mary Boff Kill. Beyonce, Paula Abdul, and Oprah.
Dude, that's beyond easy. Boff Beyonce, kill Paula, marry Oprah.
So do you want to go first, or should I?
You came up with yours incredibly quickly today, so I'm intrigued. So I want you to go first.
Well, mine shouldn't be that difficult to, once I say I'm going to be like, duh, obviously you're going to do that. But as we've mentioned on the show, we are comic book and geek culture fans, and I am one of the biggest Superman fans out there. So Man of Steel opened this past weekend, and yes, we've already seen it twice, and it only came out less than a week ago.
Yeah, and although we haven't done a hot scenes in a while, for you ladies out there, or bisexual men, holy cow, sexy man alert, Henry Cavill, who plays Superman, there are some scenes where he is topless is a woman's term, where he's shirtless, holy cow, like this man is ripped and sexy. And even when he's in his Superman outfit, whew, yeah, that got me wet.
Nice. So we went and saw Man of Steel, and I highly recommend it. Loved it. So, you know, it's hard to take your spouse's word 100% for it when they say how good you're looking and you need, like, another man. It's hard to take, like, a huge Superman fan's word for it, but I highly recommend it if you're on the fence about seeing the movie. So that's my plug for Man of Steel.
Well, I guess I can support what you're saying, because we watched all the Superman movies prior to this one, leading up to, in the last couple of weeks. So I've seen every Superman movie, and I've seen this one, and I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I liked it even better the second time. So,
yeah,
see, and not just because of Henry Cavill and his rockin' bod.
So, mine, I think before I did a Marvel-themed Mary Fuck Blow, so this one is a DC-themed Mary Fuck Blow.
Okay.
So, And it's kind of a two-part, so we're gonna do
lay it on me, Big Daddy.
We're gonna do the characters, and then I'm gonna repeat it for the actors. So as they're depicted in the movies, I wanna like Mary fuck blow for Superman, the Henry Cavill Superman.
Well, we know where I stand.
Batman, Christopher Nolan, or yep. Batman, and the Ryan Reynolds. Green Lantern.
Okay.
And Ryan Reynolds
as Green Lantern.
He has that. I can only imagine. You know, gets those panties going. He has that scene when he's in his underwear on Oa.
It's pretty hot.
So I want to know.
Mary fuck blow.
Actually,
those characters.
Just ignore. I was gonna ask you also like which of those actors out of those three actors, but really I only really care about the characters as they're depicted. So
okay.
Imagine the characters.
All right. Well, I'm gonna start off with. Just the blow, and I'm gonna put that at Batman.
And there's always the are you doing the action or is he performing on you?
He's performing on me, and he's in his suit.
He's in his. I didn't picture any of the in their suits.
He's in his bat costume.
Well, how does the cock's not out? It's not cock out. And
he's performing on me.
Oh, that's yeah.
This is the blow. This is Batman has rescued me. And now he's going to pleasure me. So he's so brooding, I wouldn't want to live with him. So he's definitely out as far as the Mary category goes. And, you know, we could fuck, but I think fucking would be better off saved for Green Lantern. Because with Green Lantern, he can just use his little ring and imagine us some kind of crazy bed, dildo, symbiont, I don't know, scenario. Where I can imagine we have some kind of great sex. Where he uses the power of his ring to concoct something. So I would have sex with Green Lantern.
So I have to ask you, you're describing all of the character traits, or, like, yeah, like Batman and Green Lantern, but are you taking into account the actor, like the like Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern? So, like,
well, I definitely...
Like, which one's, like,
Ryan
is Batman
Reynolds
hotter
is,
or is Green Lantern hotter?
Green Lantern is hotter. Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern, to me, is definitely more attractive. I am not that big of a fan of Christian Bale, to be honest with you. I don't think he's attractive.
I kind of agree. I mean, I think he has a weird mouth.
Yes, I do too. Which is all the more reason to put him in a mask while he's eating me out. So then all you see is the lips. And his lips stick out quite a bit from that mask. Like, he's got some weird lips. Which could
be better to perform on you.
Better on my lips. Exactly. And so then that leaves me with marrying Superman, which in and of itself has its own problems. Because how the hell does he fuck full out? I mean, he would kill me in a heartbeat.
That's what people always say, but I think in the same way that he can just open a door without it tearing off its hinges, he can just do natural.
He's learned.
Yeah.
And that is some super sperm, too. Like, heck, tear through you. But anyway, I think Superman as a character and what he stands for is, you know, truth, justice, the American way kind of thing. Maybe a little bit too goody-two-shoes for me, but I would choose to marry him.
That makes sense.
Kind of a toss-up between him and Green Lantern, to be honest, because I think Green Lantern would be more likely to be a swinger with me. But his job is also out in space. Green Lantern's not usually home much, so then I would have to have an open relationship and fuck other people in our marriage anyway.
True.
So I'll stick with Superman, because he can always fly home.
Very good.
That's my choices.
So lay him on me.
All right, so I also went the nerd route, but slightly different than what you did. So I was thinking about, there's a lot of summer blockbusters that are out, movie-wise. So I selected some of the main actresses, not characters, but actresses from some of the bigger blockbusters. So your choices are Amy Adams, and she plays Lois Lane in the new Man of Steel movie. Alice Eve, and for those of you who don't know, she's the blonde in Star Trek Into Darkness. She's in the trailers, basically, in her bra and panties. That's not the only thing she does in the movie, but that seems to be the most controversial thing she does in the movie. And she's the daughter of one of the starship captains. Am I describing that right?
Yeah, but the details don't matter.
Yeah, they don't. And then the third one is Rebecca Hall, who plays Maya in Iron Man 3. So she's the brunette. I didn't want to go the traditional route and pick Gwyneth Paltrow, so I went with Rebecca Hall.
So are we doing the characters or the actresses?
I guess
so. The way it's portrayed, or the
because we don't know the actresses personally, I think we have to go with the characters in this case.
Well, you can always make us. I mean, you can always do the shallow thing and make assumptions on what you think.
You
that,
can, but I think it would be better and easier to relate to if we just if we went with the characters as portrayed in the movie.
Okay, all right, I got this. So I
guess really it's Lois Lane, Alice Eve's character, who I don't know what her character's name is even, and then Maya Robinson.
Yeah. So I am going to. Eat out Rebecca Hall.
Okay. Reasons.
I like eating out. I like pussy a lot.
She
so.
Is evil in the movie. I don't know if that has any weight or impact.
I mean.
And she's incredibly smart.
Yeah. There's just something about that I could take a. There's just something about her that says I could eat your pussy. So then I will fuck the Alice Eve from Star Trek.
She's got good tits.
She seems.
You could get a good titty fuck out of that.
Agreed. And something about her just seems like she would be fun in bed. Something about that character, the way she's in the movie, that she's a little repressed. She's. Has like a military father, and that I think she would be a good fuck. And then it's funny, all the Superman ones are Mary, because Lois Lane. I think life would be fun and interesting with Lois Lane. I think, especially Amy Adams' portrayal. She's an adventurer. She goes to the Arctic, and she's doing all these things. And she's, I just think life would be fun with her. So
she's strong willed, but I would say not portrayed as pushy. As Lois Lane has been in some of the other portrayals, like I think in Lois and Clark, for example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, so that is my Mary fuck blow.
That's a good one.
So, all right, I think that pretty much wraps up this episode, this unnumbered episode, because we're not sure exactly where it's falling. So why don't you take us home, Davey?
All right. We ask for you to email us questions, comments, stories, anything that you want to email us. You can reach us at swingingaround@gmail.com. No D at the end of swinging. We are on Twitter, which is just swinging around. No D at the end of swinging. We started a new Facebook fan page. You can find us if you just go to Facebook and search for swinging around. You'll find it there. So become a member of that. Like us on Facebook so we can follow you. And all of our posts will post up to Facebook too, so you'll just have another forum for keeping up to date on all the swinging around news.
And it could be an interesting way for listeners to post comments and maybe build,
some listener hookups.
Maybe it's well that, and also maybe it's a little ambitious, but having a little you know swinging around community because I mean
fantastic.
I'm not gonna it'll take a little time if it happens at all, but I mean the potential's there. It could be kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know how readily that stuff shows up on your actual Facebook. So if we have a lot of closeted swingers, I'm not sure how that works.
I'm not sure either. So,
but if you have a swinger profile on Facebook, then for sure, hit us up. And then also you can find us at swingin-around.blogspot.com.
Although and now we caveat now
we actually just purchased the swingingaround.com domain. So you can go to swinginaround.com, no G at the end of swingin. For now, it's just going to route you to our Blogspot page, but we'll eventually have a website put up. I don't know what the time frame is on that, but at least it's easy to remember, swinginaround.com.
We're coming up in the world. Instead of swingin-around.blogspot.com, you can just say swinginaround.com. So very cool. So, and don't forget, please, if you're so inclined, leave us some feedback on iTunes. It helps us out. And let us know what you're thinking about the show. So leave us some feedback. And with that, I think we'll leave you off with stay sexy and stay swinging.